Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone back with us here on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brewpolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville or Tupelo, you can always enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. And, of course, Churn and Spoon, the home of broccoli ice cream.
Broccoli ice cream. That's right. Brian.
I told you I would do it. I'll do anything in the name of journalism and science.
Science.
It's a different kind of science.
I know.
Different kind of science. So, yeah, Churn and Spoon ice cream on these hot summer days is always a fantastic idea. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that.
Beef.
There he is. That's what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I had beef for last night. You ever do Korean barbecue?
Yeah.
You know, the little beef
rib? I don't do it because it can't cook that well.
But you know what I'm talking about, yes. Right? You know those little beef ribs?
Yeah.
They sell those at Walmart. So I cooked some of those up last night.
Sounds wonderful.
Oh, they were fantastic. A little that and a little fried rice. And
yeah, why not?
Why not? That's what I said. And yeah. How long did that take me to cook? I don't know, about 20 minutes. They don't take very long on a hot griddle. So if you are looking for great weeknight dinner ideas, A, tweet at me. B, go to msbeef.org. More than happy to show you all their recipes and show you how beef can be the star of any weeknight meal. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. I tweeted out a link yesterday. An underdog is still a freaking dog t-shirts are available at College Corner. You can order those now. And, you can order a lot of great stuff from College Corner. All the M over S stuff for postseason baseball is there. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, you need to talk to the good people over at Priority One Bank. Bankers that know you by name, not just by your account number. Bankers that treat you with respect. Bankers that know you. People that are going to help you. And if you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Carlo, back in time for the Starkville Regional. We'll talk to Brooks Bine and get his thoughts on this weekend in just a few moments. But, Carlo, I think you and I Coach O'Connor would not be happy with us, I don't think, because you and I are both looking ahead on this one. We both feel really confident about State's chances to get through this regional, probably, in all likelihood, unscathed. I think, especially when they win, they should win this first game. They're playing a team they beat 26-0.
Yeah.
Duke Stone pitched in that game, pitched four perfect innings against Lipscomb. And then I'm going to have the ability there in that situation. And they haven't announced the rotation yet, but we think Duke Stone game one. When you're telling me that game two I've got Valinkas and game three I've got McPherson, or you want to reverse that, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to feel confident about State's ability to get this done in three games and move on to a super regional. Are we too confident? Are we overconfident in Mississippi State's abilities here?
I wouldn't really necessarily say so, because if you just look at the matchup from how they've played teams this year, number one, they had Lipscomb. You could argue that was the most dominant series they've played the entire season, 26-0 to cap it off. And then you look at other teams. Look at their record against non-conference opponents. It's spectacular. One of them is a loss to a host. Actually, both of them are to hosting teams.
Mm-hmm.
And the one of them, they also run ruled. So they match up well against all these teams. Cincinnati presents maybe a different threat than a lot of teams that they've faced, where when they get guys on, they're very aggressive. But they're traveling very far. They're playing a team that they haven't played before. It's an SEC team. It's on the road, not to mention Duty Noble. I think they match up very well against this field. Louisiana is a little scary because they've been playing some of their best baseball as of late. But at the core of it, Mississippi State, playing teams hot, cold, if it's not really an SEC team, and if it's really not Georgia, Texas, Auburn, or any of those teams, that they've played them quite well.
That's the thing I've been saying for the past few weeks, right, is if you look at State's non-conference record, you know, they only lost two non-conference games all season long. Once to the number one team in the nation, once to Southern Miss and Hattiesburg, in a game where they had a lead late in the game. And I mean, I think I don't like playing woulda, coulda, shoulda, but if Kevin Malewski is healthy and is behind the plate in that game, State probably wins because he's going to block up those wild pitches that cost them the lead. But regardless, Southern Miss is a good team. It's not, there's no shame in losing to them. And so that was my thought process. Like, State's not playing an elite caliber SEC team in a regional, so they should be able to get through it with relative ease. And, you know, Cincinnati has a great frontline pitcher. So does Louisiana. But they're going to see those guys tonight. They're not going to see Mississippi State with those pitchers unless something unusual happens. You know, one of them's able to, you know, Cincinnati's able to put up 8 runs in the first inning, and they're like, why don't we just have this guy throw 30 pitches and then maybe we can bring him back or something. I don't know. I just feel like State, McPherson being back gives them such an edge. Playing at home gives them a huge edge. The fact that they don't have to throw their, you know, there are sometimes when you have a 4 seed and you're like, I might have to throw our best guy. You know, this is a dangerous 4 seed. And, you know, it's a gamble one way or the other. You think about last year with Ole Miss. They gambled.
They gambled and they lost.
And they lost.
Burned them.
And but, again, with Murray State, they ended up winning the regional. You know, a 4 seed that just
won the super regional, too.
Yeah, they went to the College World Series. Yeah, I mean, yeah. They a little bit of an outlier there. And I agree with what Michael Borky said about this, is that even though you gambled and lost, it doesn't mean you didn't make the right decision. I think the right decision was to not start Hunter Elliott in game one for Ole Miss. I think the right decision is clearly not to start McPherson or Valinkas here in game one. I don't expect that to be the case. But this is baseball, and Brooks is going to tell us that in just a minute. He's like, crazy things happen in baseball. This is the sport where upsets are most likely. So I just feel like State, if State can come out in the first couple of innings on Friday and just put 5 or 6 runs on the board and just put everybody at ease. Mm-hmm. Have a nice, easy day. You know, you think, I remember that Auburn game, the Thursday night game against Auburn. And, you know, State put up the 5 spot in the first inning and then just kind of was on cruise control the rest of the way. They would add, and State fans needed that because it had just been so long. So you think about the LSU series, the last home series before that.
Down
every game.
Every single game.
Every game had drama. State trailed in every game. They had to come from behind. The previous 2 series of that, you were swept. You trailed most of the games against Georgia and Tennessee. State could use a little bit of just a deep breath kind of moment.
They don't play with a lot of leads.
They don't.
In important games, which that Auburn Thursday game was the first time. I remember after that game, I think we hopped on, and I said this is like the first time in a big game where this team's actually had a lead and been able to play with it.
Right.
Versus every single time they're down 2-0, 3-0, and they're just fighting back just to get it tied and then you've got to go win. It's way harder to play from behind than ahead, obviously. And so they would appreciate maybe this weekend they can do that and gain some confidence going forward.
And think about even like the Ole Miss series, right? The Ole Miss series, you know, the Friday night game was kind of back and forth. State had to put across a couple runs. The Saturday game, State had control of that game. Valinkas was really, really good in that one. The Sunday game, you remember, almost left the bases loaded 4 times and didn't score. Duke Stone kept putting guys on base, but then kept getting strikeouts and getting out of it. And, you know, the bullpen played really well that day, but they stayed in trouble. And it was a game that, even though State was leading the whole way, they just never felt – it was just never like, okay, we're in complete control of this game kind of moment, the way it was that Thursday night against Auburn. I expect the first game to be like that, and then we'll just kind of see what happens. I'm very interested to see what Cincinnati – if State plays Cincinnati, how the State reacts to them. State has not been a great team this year throwing out base runners, and Cincinnati wants to do that. They want to put a lot of pressure on. Cincinnati's also got the best power hitter in this regional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not Ace Reese. It's this kid Quentin Coates for Cincinnati, 28 home runs on the season. Cincinnati's a team only – they have 84 home runs, but 2 guys have 44 of them. They've got 2 guys with double-digit home runs, and then it's just a – everybody else is kind of like 5, 6, 7, 8 home runs. Don't do it. I said 5 and 8.
You said the numbers in between.
So let me just – I want clarity. All right. It's one thing if you say 6, 7. But if I say 5, 6, 7, 8, it still counts?
Yeah. No.
But that's what I did. I said 5, 6, 7, 8.
I'm just a child. It's fine.
Fine.
As a lot of these people would agree when I don't know references from the 60s.
I didn't say anything.
I'm saying it.
All the ones that I've docked you on are not 60s references.
Yeah.
I've gotten you on. I've got like 80s and 90s references.
I was exaggerating.
Okay.
Still.
Right. Saying. So, for the dogs, so I'm starting to see it. Just for clarity here, it's 10:47 a.m. On a Thursday here. I'm starting to see some names come out as far as other teams, who they're going to throw. You know, Florida announced that Russell Sandifer will start Friday for them. I just saw another one as well. So you're starting to see some stuff leak out. My guess is by the time you're listening to this podcast, we know what the rotation is going to be for Mississippi State and for, you know, going forward. I don't know if they'll do a rotation, I guess. They'll just tell you your game one starter and they'll kind of figure it out from mm-hmm. there. How – If we see the graphic and it's Tomas Valančiūnas for game one, I mean, I don't think that's going to be the case. What is your reaction going to be?
That'd be stupid.
Just all straight respect, up.
With all due respect.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a team that you beat three times.
I said it with all due respect.
Did they run rule them all three games?
No, the two games were like 8-4, 9-3, something like that.
And then 26-0.
And then the game, yeah, the last game was the weird
one. So they have to. They have to start Duke Stone, right?
Yeah.
They've got to.
Well, I mean, they could go deeper if they really wanted to, I think.
I was going to say they could.
You could start.
But you're playing with fire at that point.
You are.
You want to. Ideally, you only play three games this regional and you win all three and then you move on. So it would be Duke. And then you're probably getting the best punch in game two, which would be all likelihood Cincinnati, unless Louisiana can beat them,
mm-hmm.
which at that point would even be a easier matchup, in my opinion. So I would go Duke, I would go Valančiūnas, and I would go Ryan McPherson. And I saw Sam Sklar's tweet where it said Ryan McPherson last weekend pitched 5 shutout innings,
yeah.
80 pitches.
Yeah.
That looks like the guy that we saw in February and early March.
Yeah, and I talked to him O'Connor on Monday. It sounds like it's no limits on him. Like do I expect him to throw 130 pitches?
No, no. Absolutely.
But could he get you into the 6th, 7th inning? Are you doing it, my eyes?
No, I'm not doing it.
As soon as I open my eyes, are you going to do it?
No. See, right. I refrained.
I appreciate it. If he can get you deeper into the game and throw 80, 90, maybe even 100 pitches, I think he's clear to do that at this point. And that's why that is something that no other team has that. You know, no other team is coming into the postseason going, oh, yeah, we're getting our Friday night guy back at the absolute right time.
And going into the season, he was, I would say, regarded as the best pitcher on the team.
It was between him and Valančiūnas, which still is.
Came out really and just kind of took that title from him because he got injured.
They're both potential first rounders.
Absolutely. I mean, the pitching rotation looking way ahead for next year is unbelievable.
Oh, next year Mississippi State should.
They might have one of the best pitching staffs in the entire country.
They should. You know, when you're talking about
Bauer.
My guess is, and it's just a guess. I mean, now O'Connor really be mad at us. We're really looking ahead here. But when you're talking about next year, you can go McPherson, Valančiūnas, and Bauer's probably your Sunday guy. Duke Stone becomes like the swing man. You know, Stone is your midweek starter.
No way, he's a midweek. He would start. He started most of this year.
Who's he going to?
But yeah, that's a good point.
He's not starting over Valančiūnas or McPherson. I think Bauer gets ahead.
He would have the Ben Davis role though.
You think he'd be? That's what I'm saying.
And
I would have Duke go on weekdays, give me 4 or 5 innings there, and just dominate.
I think he's better than midweek.
But he's the kind of guy who can come back and give you a Saturday, Sunday, a couple innings there.
Yeah.
So, or that's what, you know, that's just how you prepare for it. And then you're going to have him. Maddox Miller is going to be back. Maddox Webb should be back.
They,
I think
they have almost everybody coming.
Yeah.
Back.
I mean, and yeah, that and they're recruiting well there too.
Nasty.
So.
Yeah.
It should be. Now they got a lot. They got a lot of holes to fill in the portal for the lineup
players. Yeah. Yes.
But I mean, if I got to build around Jacob Parker, I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll be okay.
Yeah, they are losing a lot.
But that's what the portal – that's what the money's for.
I mean, a lot of this team is portal. It's kind of the mix of the
– This is a more of a mix. There's – I mean, Fry, Sullivan, Reese, Chance. Sanders hasn't made a huge –
He's a base runner.
He's a good player. I mean, I like Gatlin Sanders, but you know, but both of those guys, you know, and of course Parker was a signee. He would have been here. I assume he would have been here one way or the other. But yes, this year is a little more balanced. Next year is going to be also you know, we're way ahead. But like you kind of hope that if Teal and Nunnally stay, maybe they take a big step forward. Those are talented guys, and they just not play. It just didn't click for them this year, but maybe next year. I don't know. That's a discussion we'll have.
We're
now.
Way ahead. We got
way ahead.
Regional.
Way
here,
ahead.
But so, yeah,
Coach O'Connor would be so mad.
Regional looks. It's definitely a favorable draw.
Yeah,
I think.
All right, let's go over to Brooks. Let's talk to Brooks Bryan, who you know, when you see him, he is actually about to star in a reboot of General Hospital. He's going to be playing the love interest for Jennifer Aniston. In this new drama. So we'll go now to our conversation with Brooks Bryan. Let's dive into this regional preview with Dr. Brooks Bryan down there, you know, as you can see. And Brooks, we've been talking for the past couple of days, and I've talked to three different, you know, national guys. And, you know, obviously you know it as well, but there's an X factor for Mississippi State in this regional, and that's Ryan McPherson, now that he's full strength. As we're sitting here recording, it's 10:21 on a Thursday. They haven't announced the rotation yet. What day do you expect to see McPherson?
I would expect to see him the third game. I just think that they'll go with Duke tomorrow, and then it would be Holtico for the second game, and then Ryan for the third.
That just makes the most sense, which is, you know – that being said, I was shocked to see the way they handled the tournament. You know, getting Tico the Wednesday start. I really thought they might hold him for Thursday, but it ended up working out for the best. Going from there, then Brooks, how do you set up? Assuming State can win this regional, how do you set up your your regional rotation? Do you bring McPherson back to Friday? Do you leave him on Saturday? How would you handle that?
I think I would probably go back Tico game one, and then. I don't know how it may be. How does Ryan look? But he would be a Sunday guy. So, you know, do you move him up to Saturday? Do you leave him for game three? I think it would be dependent on what he looks like before I made a decision on that, and also kind of how Duke looks like, what he looks like this weekend.
So Cincinnati, I don't know. You know, State doesn't know if they're going to play Cincinnati or Louisiana. Louisiana, from what I can tell, is just a pretty straightforward baseball team. They hit the ball, they pitch the ball. Nothing out of the ordinary there. But then you have Cincinnati, and if you've kept up with them this year, they're kind of like Kentucky on steroids. They really want to run the base paths. They really want to get after it. They'll lay the bunt down. They make you work a lot defensively. What does that do for a team like Mississippi State? We know, you and I both know, has struggled this year throwing out base runners. You know, Maluski looks like he's going to be back this weekend, so defensively they should be okay behind the plate. But that just feels like a team that, you know, I think State would win because Valinkas, I don't think, put a lot of guys on base, but that could be a strategy to get Mississippi State kind of off its game, I think.
Yeah, I think they're just like you said with Kentucky. They're aggressive. They try to cause chaos on the bases. They try to make you make mistakes. But if we go with Duke or Ryan this first game and win, and then we have Cincinnati, I think Tico can hold the running game down. Number one, just being a lefty. But also number two, you don't expect as many runners to get on base as you would maybe with Ryan or with Duke. Just because Tico doesn't walk as many as they do. Duke has a tendency, you know, to go 2-2, 3-2 on a lot of batters and kind of get himself into some concerning some concerning times on the base pass. So but I think if that's who we play game two, whether it's in the winner's bracket or the loser's bracket, either one, it would help to have Tico as the lefty there to control the running game.
When you look at a team like Louisiana, you know, they've played some of, I guess, their best baseball as of late, hot hitting team. You know, what's the concern level for a team that's, you know, 3 seed in the tournament, playing kind of with house money, going to a regional where they're clearly, you know, not the favorite? Just, you know, when you look at that team and how they match up in this regional, you know, what scares you and what makes you think that it's going to be fine? You know, it's just they're 3 seed for a reason.
Yeah, like you said, they've gotten hot recently. That's kind of the concerning part of it. Everything else, I think, would just be strictly we go out and we do what we need to do to win. And it's not really as much about the opponent as it is about Mississippi State and just throw strikes, make plays on defense, and then just hit the ball. And I think that's where if you play a team, say like Louisiana, a 3 seed, that's kind of what you're looking at. even though that they are one of the hotter teams in this regional, I still think that as long as you focus on yourself and you do everything right, everything should take care of itself.
As someone that has played in the postseason before, does it feel like it's almost a new season and everything the last few months doesn't really matter? Or is it kind of, you know, 0-0 mindset? What are these players going through as they're entering this weekend?
Yeah, it's totally different season. Brian and I discussed that a couple of days ago, where every pitch is, it means something, and which I know it does in the regular season also, but it's just totally different when it comes tourney time, whether it's basketball or whether you're in the field of 64 in basketball, whether you're in the playoffs in football, baseball is the same way. You get into postseason and every pitch matters, every out matters, every at bat matters. And the players know that. I don't think that it'll show at all that they're tight, because I know some people may say, okay, well, that's going to make them tight like they were, say, during a couple of different series, maybe the Georgia or Tennessee game, which I still don't think we played tight. I think that Georgia pitched it really well. And then I think Tennessee, they pitched it really well and then just made some great plays and then got some timely hits and we didn't. So I just think it's a totally different season. And I think the players know that. And I think you'll see that whenever they come out there, I think you'll see a little bit more attitude.
One of the things I like about Brian O'Connor's postseason resume is a number of his College World Series teams were not particularly – they weren't completely dominant teams in the regular season. His first College World Series team finished fourth in the division in the ACC. His 2015 team that won the national title, they were 15-15 in ACC play. His last two College World Series teams were first – they did win one division in 2023. The next year they were second in their own division. So he's had a knack of taking teams that, you know, maybe you say they underachieve or just didn't reach their goals for the regular season, but once they get into postseason play, there's something different. I know there are players who are better when the lights are on. Is Brian O'Connor one of those managers maybe that's a little bit better when the lights are on? When we're talking about when it gets into postseason play, he just has a knack for finding a way.
Yeah, and that's what I love about him is he's so process-oriented throughout the season. You know, every post game, he talks about those same things, and it's just process oriented, meaning you're worried about yourself. You're not worried about as much as the other team and who they're throwing or who they're not throwing or who they have hitting. It's more about yourself and about your team, where if we play well, we should win this regional. Some in baseball things can go a little weird, where you hit the ball really hard the whole game and right at people, and then they have four or five, hits through the six hole and four hole, and they score and beat you 5-3. But most of the time, if we play well in this regional, how it's set up, we should win. And I think he knows that, and I think he communicates that to his players, and I'm sure he did the same thing at Virginia also.
When you think about, your own postseason experience, and we've talked about that before, you played for two different coaches in the College World Series. Is there one thing that Ron Polk did? Is there one thing that Pat McMahon did that, I don't know if put the team at ease or gave extra confidence? What was the message that those two guys like to give you before the game?
Man, we were an older team both years. My junior year, we had a lot of juniors, and then we had a couple of guys that went in the draft and left, Dubose, Adam Pyatt. Mm-hmm. But most of us came back. So we were just an old team, and both coaches – pretty much let us handle things the way they felt like we were comfortable in handling that, because we were an older team. This year's team, I think, is kind of an older team, especially when you're talking about position players. So I think that he's going to let them have their own personality, I believe, to where it's however you feel like and whatever you feel like you need to do to feel relaxed, to feel like you're locked in. I think he's going to let them do that.
So looking at the regional, I would say, and I remember I watched the show, I thought it was a very favorable draw for Mississippi State. So just saying they win the regional and they move on to the Super Regional in Athens, a team that they've lost to now four times.
And saying that Georgia wins their regional too.
Yes, which, they do have a little bit – they do have a tough regional as well. Say those two teams meet again and they'll play either their fifth, sixth, or seventh games. When you've played a team that many times – you know, what's the strategy going into the fifth, you know, the sixth game? You got to change something because clearly the first four didn't work. But what would be your approach facing a team that, you know, has had your number this year?
Yeah, I believe that they would go in scouting. You know, all three starting pitchers that Georgia would have, they will have a lot of scouting on those guys and how they pitch them. It would be the third time that we would have faced their number one guy, Velasco, or I can't
Volko.
Okay,
yeah,
he started against us obviously in Starkville and then in the SEC tournament, so he would probably start against us on Friday night there. We would just have a really good scouting report on them, and they would us too. But in three of the four games, we've played them really well. In the SEC tournament, you know, we lost 5-3, four double plays, or maybe four or five. But that lets you know that we were getting guys on to be able to hit into a double play, and then we were also hitting it hard enough to hit into a double play. So that's, you know, and a lot of people will say, well, you don't need to hit into double plays. Well, as a hitter, all you can do is, as long as you're not rolling over the ball and hitting two hop ground ball double plays, you hit it where it's pitched as hard as you can and then let it fall where it may. So I just think that we would be a lot more scouted. The first time we played Georgia, and we discussed this after that series, was that Wes Johnson pitched us backwards a lot, where, you know, we were seeing a lot of 2-0 breaking balls, a lot of 3-1 breaking balls, and a lot of 0-2 fastballs. And that's not normal. So maybe we know that this next time, and he may go back to pitching it kind of by the book. But I just think there'll be a lot more scouting known from both teams. And I really think it would be a really good series.
Yeah. If you go back and watch the game from last, last Thursday, we hit the ball pretty well. We hit the ball hard. The four double plys were killers for us, obviously, but we got guys on base in that game. So I do agree that, you know, from a scouting report perspective, we are going to be a little bit ahead of the curve. And, you know, the way I've been saying it is like this: if you were an Ole Miss fan, which God forbid, but if you were, and you were playing Mississippi State in a super regional, you know, you would think, Beating a team six times in 1 year is not Major League Baseball. That would be something almost unprecedented. You got to think State can at least go over there and get one. And if you can get one and force a game three, then you know, the pilot kind of turns on the what the hell sign at that point, and then anything could happen. So I like State's chances to get out of this regional. We'll see what happens next week. But I do agree with you, Brooks, that I think State's going to be a much better prepared team. All right, Brooks, we will get you back on Sunday, hopefully wrapping up a regional and looking ahead to a weekend in Athens.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
All right, thanks to Brooks. Appreciate him. We got to get back into these preseason prognostications here, my friend. I delayed them until you got back so we could go through this together. We got the Arkansas Razorbacks today. Also, just to let everybody know, we're not calling it Future Brian. We're not calling it that. He has no place, but just because it's the same day. I'm not doing anything weird. I'm going to let the softball game happen, and we'll come back and recap that after. But Carlo won't be here for that one because he's got to go to work. So, all right, Arkansas, 2-10 a season ago. Ryan Silverfield,
interesting hire, to say the least.
Like, you think about the coaches that preceded him at Memphis. Justin Fuente had massive success at Memphis. Went to Virginia Tech. It didn't really work out. Mike Norvell was just as big. Big wins at Memphis. Goes to Florida State. Has had some highs. Has had some lows. Probably on his way out at the end of this year, mm-hmm. for being totally honest. Silverfield really never had the same highs and lows as those guys did. I mean, they won games.
Yeah.
But that's really all you can say. And now he takes over an Arkansas program that has been, you know, quite
shambles.
Quite frankly, you know, one of the worst in the conference. They do not have an easy schedule. Their athletic director is a big whiny baby.
He was mad.
He's big
that.
Mad.
He was mad.
Isn't that what the kids say? He's big mad?
Big mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what they say?
I don't know.
Okay. So let's look at this Arkansas schedule. I'll just go ahead and tell you, last year I was right on the nail. I think I did say 2-10 this Arkansas. Yeah. I just did not believe in them. And I go ahead.
He's scheduling Notre Dame at home. Like, come on, what are you doing?
Spoiler alert. Not big on them this year.
Yeah, I'm not either.
All right, they do get it. We'll start them off with a win, though. North Alabama.
Yeah, they got that one.
All right, and here's where the schedule is so tough. At Utah.
No,
Utah is.
They've been a good program.
They're a good program. New coach, but I don't see Arkansas winning that game. I'll just be totally honest with you. So 1-1. Georgia at home.
When?
Yeah, play at 11 a.m. Like, what are we talking about here? We got people in this country right now that are working till 2 a.m. and then getting up and going back to work at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
All right. On. You got 7 days. You'll be fine. So 1-2.
Yeah.
I think they beat Tulsa.
Yeah, I have that too.
All right. 2-2. We're off and running. Yeah. All right. Here we go. At Texas A&M. Glad to see this is back on campus. I was never a big fan of the Jerry World thing. I will say this. When it was at Jerry World, usually one of the weirdest games of the season. Always drama, always something crazy happening. Not so much this year. I think at A&M, Aggies probably
it's
win.
It's going to be bad.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah, A&M was a playoff team last year, man.
So if I said right now, if I gave you A&M, I'll say A&M minus 16.5.
No, I'm not betting that. You're crazy.
Then what's bad?
I just think it's going to be bad. But
okay.
If we're talking about betting, you don't really want to go.
We're not putting a year's salary or anything, like a dollar, you know, something between friends.
I don't know.
All right. Then they are at home to Tennessee, who, of course, they beat 2 years ago in Fayetteville.
They did.
I don't see that happening this year, though.
No.
I can't. It's just one of those things where, like, I wouldn't predict it today.
No, they wouldn't. So.
All right. I'm going to get them back on the winning track here. I'm going to get them to win at Vanderbilt.
Okay.
I'm just not big on the Commodores have got to come back to earth at some point. This is the season for that. I'm going to give them this win. You?
No.
No. Oh, that's bad news for Ryan Silverfield then, for him, because that's my last win. I assume it's yours as well. You don't have any more either. Bye week, then home to Missouri.
I have this as a win.
You have this as
– But now that I'm really looking at it, I probably would have switched them. But whenever Carlo wrote this on 5/18,
you got to stick with what you wrote down.
I'm sticking with it. Right. Yeah.
And as we get, you know, when we get to the game, when we predict them,
I'm not very high on Missouri either, though.
That's well, I mean, that's fine. At Auburn,
no.
South Carolina at home,
nope.
Winnable. At least you feel like it's winnable.
Like it could be a close game.
Yeah. And at Texas, no.
Why do you say no like that?
No, you don't think.
No, there's
historic
no
rivalry.
Chance. I would take minus 16.5 that game.
I would too. And then home to LSU.
That would be funny, but no way.
It would be really funny. So I'm saying 3-9. We're both saying 3-9.
Yep. One SEC win.
God. So Hunter Yurecek, the man who hired Chad Morris and Sam Pittman, hires this guy, and in year one he goes 3-9. They're about to have a new athletic director.
Yeah.
I mean, you got this guy. He didn't hire Calipari. Everybody knows that. You know, he's hired three on the surface. It looks like terrible football coaches. You don't keep, there's no recovering from this. And you're out there being a whiny baby about it. The other thing about Yurecek is he is one of the constant, like, we just can't compete in this NIL world. We don't have the resources, instead of just getting, you know, doing what Selman did when he got here and was like, let me get off my butt and go get some money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we live in a world where Mississippi State can raise $80 million.
Arkansas
can double that. They should be easily able to double that, but they don't. They just don't have the right leadership in place.
Mm-mm.
So, all right, 3-9. All right. Very interesting team next week with the Auburn Tigers.
I think we're 2-for-2 for having the same record.
Yeah. Did you say 10-2 for Alabama?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Then yeah. Same brain. All right, this is the part of the show where we'll bring in, it's not future Brian. We're talking about something that's happening 3 hours from now. But let's get a recap on the softball game, so we'll go to that now. All right, let's move into this quick softball recap that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother in the Cotton District, two places that are going to be absolutely jumping this weekend. After the game on Friday, before the game on Saturday and Sunday, check out Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother if you want to get a great meal in the city of Starkville. And if you're trying to, you know, do a little something for your tailgate, hit them up, man, then get some smoked wings. Or you can just wait till you get in the stadium. Enjoy the smoked wings there. Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you to Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call today. If you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers, new laptops, whatever it is, call them, get the product, but more importantly, get the guarantee, the security blanket of service after the sale. You don't stay open as long as they have, unless you take care of your customers. They've been doing it for 50 years. 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Buddy, that Maroon & Co. gift card went like that. It was quick. I was in there. I turned around. There's somebody, guys like, who a friend of the show has been, I won't give any names away, but, you know, has been a friend of the show, and he was like, Thunder 15? Yes. Yes. So we and then right after he came up there, I think I had four other people say, hey, is it? It was gone. So, but the good news is you can always save money at Maroon & Co. with Thunder 15. So if you're up here this weekend shopping or you're looking ahead for Father's Day a few weeks away now, guys, you need to head to Maroon & Co. and check out their incredible selection of Mississippi State gear. Better than everybody else's. Maroon & Co. is the place to go next time you're in Starkville. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Hey guys, we got to get this rain under control so we can get back out there on the yard. Doesn't matter how big your yard is, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has a John Deere mower for you. For the smaller yards, the John Deere Zero Turns are available. Great deals out there. But if you got the big jobs, you need a compact tractor or a commercial mower, Scruggs can certainly make that happen for you. 0% financing available on select tractors right now, up to 84 months. You're not going to get a better deal than that. Whatever you're doing around the house this weekend, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden can make it a better one for you. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, they have what you want for less. Landowners in the state of Mississippi, you know the name. Good Hope Land and Timber. You've known them for years. Great people, experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a quick phone call. If you're a landowner in this state and you're just trying to manage your land, manage your timber, your resources, how do I do it profitably? How do I keep it sustainable? That's where Good Hope Land and Timber can certainly help you. But if you are looking to buy or sell land, again, call Good Hope Land and Timber. No matter how big that purchase is, a couple hundred or a couple thousand acres, they can certainly give you a hand with that. 601-442-9888, or you can visit them online at g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. Mississippi State's debut in the College World Series, well, it didn't go too well. We'll just call it what it was. A run rule shortened 8-0 loss to Texas Tech. Texas Tech, for those of you who aren't following softball, but if you do follow college sports, you know that Texas Tech has a lot of investment in NIL right now in every sport, and softball is certainly no different. This is a very expensive roster, very good team, and it showed. They dominated the game, 8 runs on 7 hits. Mississippi State only 2 hits, a couple of errors, so they didn't help themselves either. Alyssa Faircloth only went an inning and a third. She gave up 4 runs on 4 hits, walked 1, couple of doubles, gave up a home run, and just nothing Mississippi State could do. So the College World Series would come down to a do-or-die game with them against Texas, the defending SEC champions. They were upset today by Tennessee in Oklahoma City. So Mississippi State, Texas on Saturday will determine whether or not Mississippi State will be the first team eliminated from the College World Series, or whether they'll keep their dream alive for another few days. Just a tough loss. You know, coming out of that Oklahoma series, there is a fear of they put it all into that, and there may not have been very much left. Kind of reminded me, you remember Mississippi State baseball in 2007 when they had the Super Regional against Clemson, and you know, it was just such a grind in those two games. There was so much emotion, and then when they got to Omaha, they weren't on the same level as some of those teams. Honestly, could be a situation like that here, but could easily just bounce back. It's a team that they went to Oklahoma and won. They are capable of winning a couple of more games here. So we'll see what happens. But 8-0 is your final score from Oklahoma City. Mississippi State falls to Texas Tech. All right. Tomorrow's show. There is no tomorrow's show. There is there will be TNL postgame. TNL postgame live about a little bit after 6 on Friday, because we know we do have to. I will leave Duty Noble, go to Sports Talk Mississippi. Once that's over, TNL postgame live will be on the air. And then following that, Saturday, Sunday, those post games live will be in the Duty Noble press box. So looking forward to getting back on with you on YouTube, and we'll recap what's going on in the Starkville Regional. Talk to you guys then. For Carla Barone and Brooks Bryan, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.